This morning we're going to teach about the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit, the guidance of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So that'll be a great message this morning. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says we drink the same Spirit. So when we assemble and we are humble before God, then the anointing of God ministers to us and teaches us, and we drink the same Spirit. There's a spirit of love, joy, peace, spirit of patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. So that's in you. You are born again. You are a Spirit-filled believer, confessed up to date, walking by faith. So you can minister to the person next to you. Turn around and say to them, or in front of you, God bless you. You can say a prayer for them. You have the power to bless in faith. So would you do that now? Turn with me to the Gospel of John, please. Chapter 16. This is Easter season, and we understand that Christ came and did a work on the cross, and then 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father where he is today, and he said that he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, into the world, and he would guide us into truth. When Christ was on the earth, he was guiding his disciples in friendship. Friendship, I use that word because God said about Abraham that he was his friend. 2 Chronicles 20:7. I like the word friend. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. And if we could say anything about God, it is that he loves us always. He never leaves us, never forsakes us, but is really a great, 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 great friend. Psalm 141, no man cares for my soul. And if you think about it, my dentist cares for my teeth, my banker cares about my account, my podiatrist cares about my feet. My mechanic, good, thank you, cares about my car. My governor cares about my taxes. But who cares for my soul? My soul. God is a friend, a real one. God really cares for you. Jesus was with the disciples for 3 years, teaching them, leading them, and being a friend. He was really a friend. He was wise. He was not afraid to be right there in the world, confronting every confrontation with the nature of God. If it was the Pharisees, he could tell the truth and not be afraid of them. Matthew 12. If it was the wind or the storm, he could deal with it. In the Gospel of Mark, Matthew. If it was a lack of food, he was there. If it was a healing, he was there. If it was a word about the future, he was there. He would be somebody you want to be with, somebody that cared about you, a good counselor, a great friend. I was thinking about being a dad and having your son and coming to a river that you need to get across. You can walk across, but the water is fast. So you say to your son, come on, let's go, we can do it. Come on, take my hand, let's go. And he says, I don't want to go. And you look at him and you think, you can do this, no problem. Now, I don't want to go with you. I want to go my own way. And so he does, and there's a problem, and you pluck him out, and you find this is a habit of his. He isn't cooperating. Let's go get an ice cream. I don't want to. Do you want to be with Dad? No. Let's get in the car. No. What is that? That's Psalm 78. And you can read this afternoon if you want. And you count the number of times, the verbs, where they are actually saying, the Jewish people are actually saying this to God. I don't want to do it. They were stubborn. They were not steadfast. They were turning away. They were forgetting. Didn't I bring you out of Egypt? They forgot. This dad who has a son who is not cooperating, there's a word for it, what he feels. What he feels is this word, grief. Grief. It's used in Ephesians 4. It happens today with God. God is grieved. Come on, I can. Now here's the other picture. The son goes with the dad. Dad, it's fun being with you. I know who you are, Dad. Let's go. We get into a little rough patch. The dad picks up his son and takes him and carries him over. And wow, Dad, that was awesome. Let's do it again. That was great. What is the meaning here of this little story, but something about our life? Something about what God wants to do in our life. Because we are his children. And he put his spirit in us so we would cry, Abba, Father. Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third person of the Trinity. He is the one that dwells in you, that can actually be in a sinner, for we are sinners. This is amazing. How could God live in a sinner? Because Christ, when he was crucified, died for us and as us. He was our substitute. He was judged in our place so that God's abundant grace would be shed upon us constantly. We would be standing in the grace, Romans 5, 1 and 2. We are saved. We are indwelt by his Spirit. I want to say something about this Psalm 78. I counted 37 different verbs for this kind of rebellion. I'll repeat it. Let's go. Hey, let's cross the street here. Come on, son, let's go. I don't want to go. Then suddenly he runs out. He runs up the street and he runs across the street, and he's like out of control. The dad is struggling with that because it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. I wish you would you could enjoy me. I wish you could enjoy my instruction. I wish you would get to know me as your friend. I wish you knew how much I have for you. I wish you understood how much I love you. But you can't. You're having hard time doing it. Even when we succeed, you go back to the other state of mind. With your words, with your attitude, with your activity. So this is what is happening in life generally with people. Don't you know this is like God saying to the Jews, which is parallel to us? Like, don't you know the peace I have for you? Don't you know how I've got four words here for what the Holy Spirit does with us? The Holy Spirit, let's read the verse, John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers the believer, empowers us. New desire. I want to be with Dad. I want to be with Dad. I like to be with Dad. It's like I want to be with Jesus. I like to be with Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. I like what Jesus is saying. I like what Jesus is doing. I want to be with Jesus. I feel like when I'm with him, he somehow is a covering for me. He encourages me. He speaks to me. He helps me. He's a comforter. But he said, I will go away, but I will send another, and he will do it. He will do it to Koreans, Vietnamese, Chinese, Filipinos. He will do it to Indonesians, Malaysians, Indians, Kyrgyz, Uzbeks, Afghans, Iranians. He'll do it in Israel. He'll do it in Turkey. He'll do it in Europe. He'll do it in Latin America. He'll do it all over Africa. What will he do? He will empower us. He will empower us. Number two, he will purify us. I'll put here the word holy. God is holy. So are we. I cannot lie. That's what the Holy Spirit would say. I cannot bear false witness. I cannot lie. That's why we don't go along with this woke thing in our culture where you can call a little boy a little girl. I cannot do it. I cannot lie. For the Holy Spirit lives in me. I cannot lie. That's the Holy Spirit in you. You are of the truth. You have the Holy Spirit. The Father says, come on, son, let's go. We're crossing the river. Yeah, but the water is deep. That's okay. You're with me. I will lead you. I will guide you. I'm your friend. I'm your dad. You can trust me. Dad, I trust you. I trust you. What happens? We are filled with the Spirit, purified. Purified is clearer to us. We know God. It's clear to us. We are in fellowship with God, for God is the Holy Spirit. The third thing he does is he will enlighten your mind. That's why the Bible becomes a new book for us. I don't know about you, but before I was saved, I took the Bible off the bookshelf at home. I started reading it. I couldn't go more than two chapters. I could not read the Bible. I didn't understand it. I had no teacher. I was not born again. It was just a big, thick book that I just could not understand it. I would say unbelievers should read the Bible because you can meet God in reading the Bible. And find God in reading the Bible. But I would also say that it really takes the Holy Spirit to teach me the Bible, to open the Bible up to me, for it to become what it really is, God's word that comes out of his mouth in Matthew 4:4. Acts 2, Peter preached, quoting 8 Old Testament Bible verses that just rolled out of him like from nowhere, the Holy Spirit bringing to his mind Old Testament Bible verses that brought a message to the people in Jerusalem. And this man was not a rabbi, not a scholar. He was a fisherman, but he had been with Jesus. And it was the Holy Spirit that was bringing to his mind the Bible that becomes alive to us and opens the Bible up to us. We start to love the Bible because of the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. In verse 13. And then the last thing here is he unifies us. Holy Spirit makes us one. Dad says, come on, let's go. We go. We are in a fellowship. We have oneness. The Spirit of God is one. He magnifies Christ. Christ is one. God is one. How many are here today? How many people are here today? Actually, one. God. God in our midst. Many parts, but we are unified. But without the Holy Spirit, there are so many reasons for us to be divided. There are so many arguments people have, so many differences, so many opinions, so many cultures, so many different ideas, so many different kinds of variations of people. When the Holy Spirit comes and we are friends of God, then we have love, we have a unity and a fellowship with God. So let's turn now to Acts 2 and see what happened after Christ ascended into heaven. He ascended in Acts 1. And this is what then happened 10 days later. The people standing up and watching Jesus ascend up into heaven as he literally ascended up into the sky and disappeared in the clouds. The angels said, there were two angels that said, why do you here stand here gazing up? But he's gone. And Christ said to them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father in Luke 24:47 to send the Comforter. So they are waiting 10 days. What was happening during the 10 days? Nothing. Nothing was happening. Is that ever? Do you know what that means? Nothing. Happening. We're in a church. Nothing is happening, people could say. People are waiting. Nothing is happening. It's so easy to be bored in a 10-day period of time waiting and nothing is happening. Why did God do it that way? Because he wanted to make a point. When you leave people to be themselves, nothing is happening. Let people just gather and be there by themselves and nothing happens. So we get distracted and drawn to different interests and do different things. But this is too profound of a period of time. We saw Christ ascend. What are we waiting for? What is going to happen? He said the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would come. Where is he? There's nothing happening. There is no miracle. There's no manifestation. There is nothing happening. I think that's amazing. I love it. Nothing happening. Nothing happening. Wow. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. Remember, Christ was resurrected. He was with the disciples 40 days, then he ascended, and now 10 days later, that's 50 days, is Pentecost. They were all with one accord in one place. they were all in one accord. I think maybe talking about the recent events, talking about Jesus' teaching, wondering about what was going to happen. Is anything going to happen? They were like, they have this common history with their friend, and their friend, Christ, promised to send another who is also a friend. He is a friend. I want to write two, three things about this friendship here for our message. This is Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, and it's a teaching about leprosy. Leprosy is a type of, it's a disease in the Bible, disease of profound consequences, affecting your muscles, nerves, and bones, your skin, your flesh. It's a terrible, horrible disease that affects your whole body. It's very contagious. The Jews were taught to isolate the leper and not to touch them. If a leper was to approach a group, he had an obligation to put his hand over his top lip and say, unclean, 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 as he comes walking. The priest was to examine them in three areas. Number one, their skin. Number two, the garment that they wore in the warp and the woof of the garment, and then the house may have leprosy in it, something like mold in a house, a moldy house, and what the priest was to do. I want to say this to illustrate something. When Jesus says he is your friend, he comes close to you. He comes close to you and he says, I love you. But my skin is leprous. That will not stop me. I am your friend. I am a friend of sinners. But I am unclean, unclean. Jesus said, I'm stronger than your sin. I'm stronger than your bad habits. I'm stronger than your history. I'm stronger than who you are. I died on the cross to make you righteous. I came to save you. I forgive you. I wash your sin away. I redeem you. I exchange my holy life for your sinful life at the cross. I have been made sin so that you can be made the righteousness of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:21. Wait a minute. Are you really my friend? I am more your friend than you could ever imagine. No man cares for your soul, but I care for your soul. I save your soul. I am your friend. Number two, in my garment, Jesus, do you care about the clothes that I'm wearing? No, I don't care about that. I am stronger than the warp and woof, the horizontal and the weaving in a loom, weaving a garment, the horizontal and the vertical lines are warp and woof of the garment, like the shirt I'm wearing, actually, warp and woof. You know, like, this means that in the very essence of my nature is sin. But Christ is stronger than my sin. His blood covers my sin. His blood atones for my sin. But Jesus came to redeem us from our sin. Christ came to take us from death to life, from Satan to God. Now, come on. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He did. It's done. He did it. That's incredible. This is great grace. You and I have no idea. Thirdly, will he sit in my house? Will Jesus sit in my house? There in Luke 7, there was a prostitute who went, and Jesus was invited to dinner at a Pharisee's house, His name was Simon. Two reasons why I think Jesus, that man Simon, may be saved or get close to being saved. Because Jesus knew the Pharisee's name, and Jesus never ate at a Pharisee's house. Except in this case, he did. Guys, he will come to your house. Guys, he's a friend who redeems. He comes. He is faithful. Now let's go now to the real. This is all very real, but I want to say something about this. Jesus is a friend. And when he says, come on, let's cross the river, you don't want to be rebellious, angry, murmuring, complaining, do your own way, think your own ideas about it, but become a friend of God. Because he has done everything to be your friend, then why not have the Spirit of God in us, lead us, and fill us with his Spirit? So we can readily agree with God. Matthew 5:24. It says, agree with your adversary quickly. And I think in this case, my dad, who says, come on, let's go, son, we're going over. My dad could be my adversary. I don't want to go. Just go. Agree with him. I agree with your adversary. God says, trust me. I don't want to trust you. Just agree with God. Trust him. Learn to be broken and obedient. Learn to be spirit-filled. Learn to rejoice and be thankful. And see God lead you and guide you as a friend. Because that's who he is. Okay, go to Acts 2 now, and we got two parts, and we're almost done here. Acts 2, verse 1. I'm sorry, 2. 2:2. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. What was that wind? That was the moving of the Holy Spirit in a way where they could actually sense the roar of the wind or the sound of the wind. They could actually sense something suddenly happening. Remember, 10 days, nothing happened. Now it happens. God wants to say something to us about it. It's real. The Holy Spirit is real, and he can do this. It's a manifestation. Over the heads of the people were cloven tongues of fire. They spoke languages that they didn't know. They spoke human languages that were heard by the people. There are 14 different people groups mentioned in the list. It was powerful. It really happened. Now turn to Acts 19, please, and read this part. Verse 2. This is Paul finding certain disciples. Verse 1. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? What does he mean? I think it means just what he's saying. Has there been any manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life? Has there been any evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life since you believed? And what did they answer? They said, we have not so much as heard whether there is any Holy Spirit. We haven't even heard of such a thing. We haven't heard that there is any Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means to me? I think it can be repeated today. I think there are churches today that American Americans are going to, and they don't ever hear about the Holy Spirit. Have you heard that there is? We have not even heard. We've heard it in a liturgy. We've heard the phrase, but we don't know what it means. You don't know what it means? No, we don't know what it means. We don't know what it is. In the story, guess what happens? Paul lays his hands on them and prays for them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Wow. They have manifestation of the Spirit happens. That's amazing. I don't know what your theological persuasion is on this teaching, but I think we may know a lot about it in different ways. I do. I have a lot of understanding about it and experience in it, and I'm not careful to answer every question. I'm not careful to do that, because that's not the point of my message. Point of my message is that you and I are supposed to be friends of God. And that means that we agree with him. And when he says, let's cross the river, I don't want to go, but I'm going to go. Because like if that's you, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my trust in you. And as we do, we find the Holy Spirit fills us. He fills those that obey him in the book of Acts chapter 5. Those that are agreeing with God. How many times have I met people? They get upset about something. I'm going to make this up now. The color of the carpet. I don't like the carpet. I don't like this church. I'm not coming here. It's like, okay, it's like, fine. Yeah, I don't care about it for my sake. But have you heard of anything about the Holy Spirit? Have you heard anything about what it is that God is your friend and you are a friend of God? And have you heard anything about what love is and what faith is and what trust is? Have you heard anything about the reality of Christ in such a way that you are born again, the Spirit of God dwells in you, and you have new desire, just like this list here up on the screen, these four things here. Do you know that the Holy Spirit empowers you so your life is bigger than the carpet? Do you know that? Do you know that this world is a lot more than this building and this parking lot and the city of Baltimore and your last name? Do you know that it's bigger than your sin and your failure, your addiction, your problems, and your fears? Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus Christ came into the world so that we would be lights and salt in a troubled age? Yes, we do. Hang around and you'll get the drift, because it's fun. I would say my friend, he says, I'll meet you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. 8 o'clock. 8:15 comes by. He's still not there. He never shows up. Well, okay. Has that ever happened? You're a friend. You have a new heart. You're sensitive. He draws you. You like the relationship. How about when a man falls in love with a woman and he's like sensitive now to her? He's sensitive to her. Like, what is she thinking about? What are her needs? He's sensitive to his girlfriend, and the girlfriend is sensitive to the guy. How about that? Does that have any reflection on what we're talking about? When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are sensitive and we are not grieving him. Grieving the Holy Spirit is written in Ephesians 4. They came out of Egypt. Immediately, almost 3 days later, they just start murmuring and complaining and they grieve the Holy Spirit. Did I bring you out of Egypt to kill you? Or did I bring you out of Egypt to bring you into the promised land? I am your friend. Let's go. I will take care of you. Your shoes will not wear out. You have food every day. I'll give you water out of the rock. I have anointed Moses. It'll really happen. Now trust me, I am your friend like no other. I am your friend. People do not do that. People do not, they do not do that. They cannot handle it. Guys, they are not living in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit filling me and leading me in agreement with God, who is our friend. That's amazing. Okay, now, let's close. Psalm 78, and I think I just want to bring your attention to these words, and because we're at the end of the message, so we can't do a lot here with this. Psalm 78. It's a bad psalm, okay? It's about the son who is rebellious. We went across the river, across the stream, across the road. We want to go for a walk in the woods. You know, he doesn't want to be there. We want to get an ice cream. He's like a spoiled brat. He's a stubborn, rebellious, independent, and the whole thing. And you love him. Your heart is broken. You're grieved. Guys, he's not only 7 years old doing that, but he's 17 years old doing that. And he's 27 years old like that. And you're heartbroken by it. And you feel bad about it. What did I do wrong? Or how could it have changed? Or and so on. I feel we are living in a time where this is being fed to people to be rebellious, to be independent, to be selfish. We are living in a time where brokenness and obedience is not the message of our time, but it is in this church. Because in Christ, that's the answer to our real satisfaction is friendship. Friendship with God, friendship with each other, friendship in the mission, getting across the stream and being placed on the other side and go, wow, that was awesome, Dad. Thanks, that was cool. I'm hanging out with you. Guys, you are awesome. God is saying this to Israel, and Israel is saying in this psalm over and over again, you know, they turned back in verse 9. They kept not the covenant, 10. They refused to walk in the law, verse 11. Forgot his work, verse 17. Sinned more against him, provoked the Most High, verse 18. Tempted God, 19. Spoke against him, verse 22. They believed not in God, trusted not, verse 30. They were not estranged from their lust, 32. They joined to idols, they sin still, they believe not, and on it goes. I think I counted 37. And I'm saying to you and I, we are like that. But the more you can get your focus on his person and trust him with all your heart, then he will open your heart. And you are spirit-filled, drinking the same spirit. And when you get kind of nasty some days, grumpy and angry and complaining and upset about the carpet or your mother, or your father, or your job, or your boss, then just calm down. Get a grip. Go to God and just say, God, lead me. I'm pretty nasty right now. I'm a cantankerous curmudgeon. I'm a guy you don't want to cross my path. I'm a miserable little person right now. And the Lord, and knock it off. And Jesus will say, listen, bring it all to me. Bring it all to me. I sit with people in their moldy houses. I sit with people that are covered with leprosy in their garments and their skin. I am God. I came to heal you, forgive you, restore you, help you, make your confession. My blood is powerful. My spirit will fill you. I will turn you from like a demonic accuser into an edifying saint. I bring you from a proud, arrogant brat into a humble servant, spirit-filled. I will make you praise me and sing and be thankful always. I will do this because I am your friend. And by the way, let me finish. When you are a friend of God, there's something about you that is so precious. And sometimes it's recognized. Doesn't have to be for your sake. But sometimes people realize, wow, you've been with Jesus. You've been with Jesus. It seems like Jesus is your friend. That's awesome. When you go to church, you're saying, I want to be with Jesus. When you're in fellowship with your brothers and sisters, it's like, I want to be with Jesus. It's like when you open your Bible, you're saying, I want to be with Jesus. I want to listen to Jesus. When you go out and you share your faith, you're talking about Jesus, the one that you love and the one that loves you. That's beautiful. Amen. Lord Jesus, we have a convention coming up, and it's a celebration of you. It's all about you. You have forgiven us. You have taken care of us. You have directed us. You have given us our friends. You have forgiven us of our things. You have restored our soul. You have cared for us. You have visited us in the night. You have served us in our suffering. You have rewarded us and crowned us with your glory and honor. You have saved us. You have equipped us in our mouth and in our hearts. You have sent some into different parts of the world, and we have gone with them in our hearts because this gospel is incredible. Thank you for it. Lord, may this church be a spirit-filled one. May we all learn what it is to be spirit-filled. Not like a church said, we haven't even heard that there is any Holy Spirit. We don't even know anything about that. No, we know about it. We know about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We know about the ministry, the life, the joy, the peace of the Holy Spirit. The love and the unity of the Holy Spirit. If you're listening, maybe online, or you're here in the auditorium and you haven't started your spiritual life, you don't have one without Christ. And all you have to get one is just trust him. He forgives you, he saves you, and he fills you with his Spirit. And you will know him. Obey him, you will know it. Obey him, you get across the river and you go, you'll say, wow, Jesus is real. He is real. Repent of your sin. Turn away from your sin. Forget it. Forsake it. Drop it. Come to Christ and trust him. Do it today. Right now, say yes to Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.